Hi, this is Chris from Crossroads Paranormal Radio. Tune in to Mike and I every Sunday night at 10 Eastern, live on Blog Talk Radio. Join us at www.cprshow.com as we discuss various paranormal topics and interview members of the paranormal community. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community.
Macbeth is an unholy riddle we still hesitate to name for fear of retribution. Macbeth is to the theater world what King Tut's tomb is to archaeologists. The superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
Away the pain. still be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night? Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kids show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.lagghosts.com.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Bobby was awesome. Yeah. I have to... I was thinking about this, and I didn't want to... Bobby was really, really jiving, so I didn't want to interrupt her with this stupid thing, but she mentioned 420.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's something I thought, you know, by no means, none of us here, we're not in
that. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either.
I do.
Who we lying? I know what it means. But the thing that's funny is Bobby mentioned that, and it made me think of, you know, just recently...
First of all, I met Bobby, and I would never in a million, trillion, bazillion years think that she would have... No, what
the Well, yeah. The thing is, like, just recently, you know, April passed, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And within April, there's a day, the 20th of April, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that day. It was a Friday, I think.
Oh, can I borrow your cup?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. It was a Friday, I think.
Are you
right?
Spitting it?
No.
It was a Friday, right? And I was on the new armrest.
I'm getting ready to.
I remember I was driving though, right? And yeah. Like I said, we're not into that stuff. It's not our thing, and we're not promoting it here either. You know, do what you want. It's cool. But I remember I was driving on the freeway, and I looked at the clock. I remember I knew the date, like my watch had the date.
Right.
And I looked at the clock, and it was April 20th. And I looked at the clock, and it was 4:20 p.m. And I just for a second, I just kind of sat back with this like realization that it's probably like the whole state of Michigan. Was like wasted. Like, wow, what am I doing on the road right now? I'm going
to
die.
Yes, I need to be stationary parked and away from other people.
It was
people.
Just one of those things where you just kind of like, you know, one of those few times in life where you know what everybody's doing at the same time, right? It was
well,
April 20th.
I wasn't either.
I was driving sober.
Good.
All right. Sorry. I just had to throw that in there and upset the whole audience.
I'm kidding.
All right. Enough. All
right. My goodness.
All right. We got to get to this because this is like really exciting.
Yes, it is.
Doug.
Missouri Paranormal Research are a team of experienced paranormal investigators and researchers who combine a unique blend of humanistic values and scientific techniques, which result in well-formulated, balanced approach to paranormal investigations and research. Along with their adherence to a strict set of protocols and standards, Missouri Paranormal Researchers' collection of quality evidence is beneficial to overall and boy, do they have that!
Oh,
I'm
quality,
you.
Yeah.
Is beneficial to the overall progression of the paranormal research and investigative field, and in some cases, brings peace or closure for the source of the haunting. The website www.missouriparanormalresearch, all spelled out, all run together, no hyphens or anything.
Yep.
It's missouriparanormalresearch.com. We would like to welcome Stephen LeChance and Greg Myers to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys.
Hey guys.
Hey guys. How you doing?
It is so cool to have you guys back on the show. I have to say.
Well, we miss talking to you.
I'm
we got
you.
Well, go ahead, Doug.
You guys, okay, it doesn't stop. Okay. first, it started with Terry Gamble out of Missouri. I think
yeah.
It was our first thing. And then it got better and better and better. I mean, it just builds. And you guys, and you get evidence. You share your evidence. You're always forthcoming with questions.
Yeah, sure.
You've been on the show. You've answered questions. You've and then we got to... meet you guys.
Oh, man, back in March.
Awesome. Man, it was so cool, wasn't it?
And my neck hurts so bad after talking to them. I'm like the shortest person ever, and they're all 6 foot 110.
We said that. We're like, I'm like, these are, man, what's going on in Missouri?
Do you guys live near a nuclear factory or anything
guys.
Like this? I'm like, wow. You guys.
Well,
are,
I know the first time we had you guys on, Stephen, I talked to you on the phone the
right.
first time on our cell phones, and I mean, I heard your voice, and I'm like, my God, why aren't you working? What's going on? You have done some radio, haven't you, Stephen?
Yeah, I have.
I remember the whole show just going, God, this guy's got such a great voice. What are we doing? What is Doug and I doing with our stupid little voices? we got guys like Stephen LaChance out there just kind of hanging. No, it was a pleasure meeting you guys. It was an absolute, it really was an honor to meet you guys. It was really cool to hang out and talk that whole weekend. And you guys really, the work you guys are doing, I don't even know how to phrase this, because I thought about this time and time again. Because I know you guys, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but you guys have had your squabbles with people in the past concerning your evidence. Am I correct?
Right.
Which is going to happen to, I mean, it's going to happen, naturally. I mean, in this
right.
field, it's going to happen. You guys have had, I know we've dealt with it firsthand. We have, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, God, what's going on here? But I've thought about this, like, okay, there's lots of groups out there now. There's lots of groups out there doing this thing. And there's people like me who get nothing. Wait, right? I'm horrible.
Right.
I think Bobby might have answered that in the last hour, possibly, too. But and then there's groups like yourselves where you guys, there's a lot of really interesting things you guys are getting on film, audio, whatever it may be. And it makes me think, like, okay, have these guys just got the perfect mix of people to make this stuff happen?
Well, that's a very ITC kind of outlook.
Oh,
because
yeah.
ITC
right.
is all about the team that you put together.
Yeah.
But also, there's another thing that I've been thinking of. Because, all right, you guys.
I think they have the height advantage.
They do. They have the height advantage.
I'm not playing basketball.
But I have to say, I talk to a lot of people. I go to a lot of conferences and things like that. And yes, we do talk about the evidence that you guys have come up with.
Oh, yeah.
Every single time I say, you know, people will be saying something about Missouri Paranormal Research's evidence that you guys put forward, and they say, well, the thing is it's just so good. It's one of them too good to be true
right.
things, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always say, and I have personal experience with this, okay, because you guys email us and you say, all
right,
here's something that we got. This happens, you know, it's happened, what, two or three times?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Here's,
we're usually pretty forthcoming with it all.
So. Very much so. And you guys email, and we get this email and attach video or a link to a video or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
then I go, I look at it, and I'm like, this is very compelling,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it, you guys obviously share, like, the best and highest quality stuff. But then I usually have a question, right? I'm like,
sure.
Well, what about this? People could say this. People could say the other thing, and I email back, right?
Right.
And, I mean, usually within minutes or an hour or, you know, overnight, I get the response. It's like, well, okay, to address your question, here is, you know, at one point you guys even gave me, like, a raw film clip.
Right.
Which was unheard of because, you know, that's the kind – because I said, what about, you know, you guys put the Missouri Paranormal
yeah, you watermark – you watermark the film.
Yeah. And,
right.
and during that process, what could have changed, right? And you guys
right.
are like, you know – or and you're like, you know, okay, all he needs to do is see the raw film clip. Here it is. And you gave it to me. You know, you said, don't share it with anybody, and I don't blame you. It's your stuff. But – and I verified that, yes, it is as compelling untouched – as
right.
it is, you know, with the processing that went into,
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
just equally as compelling. You didn't do anything to enhance or,
right.
you know, and you guys have always been so incredibly forthcoming with us and with me and my, you know, my pesky little questions. Because I keep feeling I'm like the pest. You know,
but we love you, Doug.
Because you guys are like, ta-da, I've found proof. And then I go, oh, I don't know, you know, there's that in the corner. And I must seem like the nitpicker, you know, but you guys have answered and been so forthcoming every time, and I tell everybody this. But you have run into some interesting
yeah,
situations.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people do think it's way too good to be true. But what I'm thinking is, just like they said, they come out and said when I was a kid, they said, most traffic accidents happen within 3 miles of your home.
Right.
Right? Right. And but they don't bother explaining the statistic. Most of your driving is done within 3 miles of your home.
Right.
Okay? Because you're doing to and from work, up to the gas station, you know, up to run an errand for so-and-so or whatever, go to your friend's house. You know, most of your driving is mm-hmm. closer to home than, you know, like I don't often drive around Arkansas. I just don't do it. Right. I did it once in my life, right? So
it was a scary drive, too, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
It was a wonderful drive. I love it.
Bonnie loves driving.
Interesting state they have there.
I was screaming.
You should have been in the car with me.
Yeah, she's quite the driver. So what happens is that, you know, my odds of getting in a car accident in Arkansas are slim to none, right? Because of the amount of time I spend driving in Arkansas. My odds of getting in a car accident closer to home are much, much greater because I'm in a car driving around closer to home a lot. So you guys, I'm wondering, how often do you guys go out on investigations? Because if it's truly an odds thing,
if it
truly is a, you know, like hunting, you know, like the hunting analogy, which I think doesn't completely fit the ghost thing, but if it really is right place, right time, are you guys just going to so many places that you find that you are at the right place at the right time sometimes?
Well, you know, we go out about 1 to 2 times a week, it seems like. You know, right now we got about 20 cases stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing quite a bit. I think it's partially the team mix that we got, and then I also think it's our attitude going in. You look at this. Here's another analogy. You go fishing, right, and you really need to catch that fish. And or you go to a casino and you really need the money, what happens? You don't win the money,
right?
Or you don't catch the fish. So what we do is we're not out to go out to look for this evidence. It just happens. Because, and I think that's part of it, you know, especially when we go into our private cases, you know, a lot of times we don't think that we're ever going to be able to share some of the stuff we get there. In our main focus in those cases is to go in and help who's ever in trouble in the family and so forth. You know, so I think it's a little bit of a mindset, you know. We're not looking for, you know, that piece of evidence. And when it comes, we call it candy. You know, that's the candy of an investigation. You know, mm-hmm. that's the sweet stuff that you get. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of the way we look at it. And I think our mindset's a little different than some because, you know, there's some groups out there that are like, oh, God, if I can just get that photo. And I think it works the same way as gambling. You know, they really need the money and they're not getting it, you know. And I think, you know, just relax people a little bit and don't be so gung-ho on out there finding the perfect picture and maybe it'll happen for you.
I hate to use this. I'm going to get hit by Bonnie and I'm going to probably get hit by Doug for this too. But it's a great analogy, what you just said. I mean, in relation to, like, gambling. And these things all, mentally, they all have the same effect on you.
Can she hit you anyway?
Well, no, Tony Soprano just had this happen to him. Tony Soprano just had this
and
happen
And I did
to
hit him.
And I got hit. Tony Soprano just got busted. He just, like, lost his butt gambling a couple weeks ago on the
God.
Show. And what they call it, there's an end to this means, right?
Yeah.
What they call it is chasing it.
Right.
He's chasing it.
That is true.
And he said, I'm chasing it right now. I start to chase it, and I get worse and worse off. Now, with gambling, it's bad. I think maybe it's the same thing applied right here with ghost hunting, though, too, Stephen,
right?
You start chasing it, and you're chasing it, and you want it so bad. That's like with anything in life. If you want it too much, you're just not going to get it, man.
Well, we sure as hell don't chase it because we don't go ghost hunting ever.
There's another thing, too. Tom and I had a really good talk last night, and Tom goes, you know, I just don't think I'm getting the best pictures off digital cameras that I get off film. He goes, you know, I said, well, you know, think about it, Tom. I said, you know, some of your best captures have come off film. Now, I prefer film because, you know, in the cases where I send you something, Doug, I could send you the negative, too,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, you know, but we're finding that a lot of the great captures come off film.
Oh, you know. You mean actual film, analog
film. Actual
film.
Right,
okay.
Actual film. And, you know, and the cool thing about that, too, is an evidence standpoint, is that you do got that negative. It is something that I can substantially hand you and say, here's the unaltered negative. You know, and you can actually see for yourself that, you know, nothing went into that, you know, and there was no Photoshop being done or anything because there's the negative in front of you.
Exactly.
Well, what about, do you think it has to do with the film itself or the single lens reflex part of the camera? Because there are now digital SLRs. Of course, they're $800,
but
they're so nice.
Well, Well, you know, Tom does use a digital SLR, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does. You know, but, you know, Greg, you agree with me on this,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it just
you
seems
know.
Like the best and the most spectacular captures come off the regular analog film. We get some off the digital, but not as well.
Well, there's, analog has always had this soft spot, I think, in everybody's heart, whether it be with audio or whether it be with actual photography and things like that.
Right.
Analog has this warmth that you cannot get with digital as far as a magnetic and scientific standpoint is concerned. And I hear this from a lot of people, Steve and Greg.
Right.
Just analog, there's a warmth to it that you can't get with a hard digital frequency with anything.
And that's why I'm pushing the condenser microphones.
Right.
Even though that now they sell condenser microphones that hook right into a computer through a USB port, it's still, the mechanics are a condenser. It's got a diaphragm,
mm-hmm.
and it vibrates, and the little gold flecks make little whatevers,
yeah.
and it captures
it. Has
it.
That warmth.
It's a physical thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so excited that I'm shaking everything.
You're shaking the whole studio.
Yeah.
Shake the paint off the walls, can you?
Oh, I'll work on
Doug
that.
Doug and I we've been blessed with this nervous reflex where we shake, like you shake
constantly.
Your leg constantly.
Yeah,
it's really great
leg.
If you're laying in a bed next to either one of them, fully clothed. I just want to put that out there.
Thank you.
But it's almost like, you know, those old vibrating beds at hotels that you
right.
put a quarter in.
It's called magic fingers.
You got to figure out where to put the quarter in one of these two guys, and they'll just vibrate away.
You're moving on. Moving on.
But the big thing, Scott and Doug, is too, is you know, what the team is doing when they go out.
Right.
Our focus has always been the client. You have a lot of teams out there. You see it now. Hell, you know, you get two dudes and a digital camera and a MySpace, and you got a new.
Oh, guys, he went there.
And I love it.
You guys been listening to the show, haven't you?
I love it.
And a lot of them, they're not out, you know, to help a client. They're out to go chasing for the euphoria of it, which a lot of these shows on TV really heighten and, you know, mm-hmm. get the person's adrenaline going. And it's like, that's their main objective, is going out to capture a picture, an EVP, or whatever evidence.
You know, I just said this. I said the same thing last night. I was at dinner with an old friend last night, and we were discussing the paranormal.
How old was your friend?
How old was my friend? Yeah. About 30.
That's not old.
Shut up. But we were discussing the same thing, and I kind of said the same thing, Greg. I'm like, you know, nowadays it seems like to be a ghost hunter, you need a digital camera, a black T-shirt, and a MySpace page, and you're good to go. And I've kind of said it a few times on the show here, too. I don't want people to take that the wrong way. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there is going to be like, anyway, it's against people. I know, fine. Take it any way you want. But, Greg, I have to agree with you.
I don't know.
It's putting in the time. A lot of people think that they're going to say, okay, I'm a ghost hunter, and they're the next Jason and Grant.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
No, it don't happen
right.
that way.
I think, though, first of all, Jason and Grant put tons of time.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, they're one of the old, the Atlantic Paranormal Society.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is what TAP stands for. So
right.
if you're listening to the show and you didn't know that TAP stood for the Atlantic Paranormal Society, then, you know, you need to do a little bit more research. But the Atlantic Paranormal Society has been around forever.
They've been around for
we
a
know
long
that
time.
Since we, you know, we had talked to them and
yeah,
we knew that previous to that.
Years ago.
But I still think it's right place, right time. A big part of it is right place, right time. And I still think that somebody who just grabs a digital camera or an SLR or even, what are those old 110 films or a Polaroid?
Oh, I got one of those still.
And they and you
the
run
cube,
around.
With the cube splash thing?
Yeah, with the cube flash.
I still have one. I should take that out. I should take that thing out and do some trigger time with it just to see what would happen.
I would love to film you. In a cemetery.
Film me taking pictures.
With the 110 camera. Now, that would rock. But anyway, so what happens is I think that pretty much anybody, I think my aunt could be out in a cemetery with a camera and or a little recorder. I think it's right place, right time, and right conditions. And I haven't put it together yet what the right place, the right time, and the right conditions are, or the right people. But I do know that if anybody's getting close, it's going to be you guys, Steve and Greg.
I think a big difference, too, of our team is most of the people on our team have either grew up, lived in, or still live in a very paranormal active location.
Right.
So we're not out looking to prove paranormal existence for ourselves. We know it's there, so even though we're skeptics on evidence, you know, we know it's there, so we're not out looking for that specifically, and that's where that client focus comes in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said the same thing last night, Doug. You've been kind of saying this also. We were with my old friend again last night, who's only 30 years old. We were talking about that, and actually, I think I had you guys in mind, actually, when I was talking about this, because we were discussing, like, you know, how come some people get stuff and how come some other people don't, and I said, I'm like, maybe it's just a matter of how the frequency of the work you're doing. Somebody like me, yeah, with the show and all this stuff going on,
right.
It seems like we can't get out and ghost hunt as much as we really want to. We've said that 1,000 times on the show here. But there's guys like you that are out there, like you said, sometimes 2 times a week,
right.
Which is a lot for this stuff. I mean,
right.
When you're working a day job, you're taking care of families, you're doing all
right.
This stuff, it's going to definitely up your odds, I think.
Yeah, but for every one great capture we have, there's probably, what, 20, 30 investigations we have no
in between
captures
yeah.
from.
And we're still riding out evidence that we got in 2004.
Yeah.
We are. I'm not going to lie
and
about
we're proud
that.
Of it. I'm proud of it.
Proud of that.
I'm absolutely proud of it.
That was like the coolest stuff that we've got. We haven't seen anything that compelling in, what, 3 years?
Let's go over. Let's go over to how many minutes do we have before the break?
We got about a minute and a half.
Oh, that's not enough.
But, you know, I want to tell you guys something. What's really exciting is you guys all heard we filmed Children of the Grave with the Booth
yes.
Brothers.
Oh,
is
yeah.
That
exciting.
You guys are
going
to get to see us in action. And,
yes.
And I got to tell you, the stuff that we caught. And I've heard the film is just incredible. What you're going to see on that show when it airs is going to put a lot of people, a lot of these skeptical mouths out there are going to be shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stuff we got is just absolutely outstanding. And I just, we can't talk a lot about it yet,
mm-hmm.
but I just can't wait for you guys to see it. You know, I actually have you guys, and I remember at one point, when we got a capture during the filming, I was even thinking about you guys. I thought, wow, I can't wait for you guys to see this. You know?
I'm telling you. Well, you know, it's really frustrating, too, because Children of the Grave is coming up. It's coming
it's
out. I mean,
quick,
it's
yeah.
really quick. But we,
right.
Bonnie and I were just down with Sean down to Louisville, Kentucky, and we hung out a bit with Keith Age, right?
Right.
Of LGHS. And you know he knows tons about the project. I mean, he followed the right. He was part of the whole deal and everything, and he couldn't talk much about it. And it was
know,
so frustrating. It was so frustrating. I was just like, you got to tell me something. And he's like, there's nothing I can tell you.
Well, you know, the one thing that we all agree on is that when we talk about it, we call it a paranormal event. Because
excellent.
The stuff that you're going to see, and I'm not just talking to NPR, I'm talking to everybody that participated in it, the stuff you are going to see is just going to blow your socks off.
Awesome.
It is just absolutely, it's so exciting that it's hard not to talk about it, but, you know, you got to be careful because you hit that slippery slope, you know, and you could mess up it.
Oh, yeah.
So. But
we're really
thrilled.
We got the Booth Brothers. They're going to be coming on the show pretty soon, too.
All those guys rock.
Oh,
those guys. I got to tell you.
Go ahead.
They are the best guys. They were one of the best things that have happened to the paranormal community as far as documentation of these things go.
And they are
they're
rockers.
So genuine.
They're rockers
yeah.
too. I love the guys. They are just a ball.
They're positive.
Yeah, very
positive
guys.
The most
yeah.
positive people I've ever met in my life. You just love being around them.
Guys,
know?
Why don't we take a quick break here? A lot to talk about, I know.
Yeah.
We got to take a voice break. As you can hear, again, hear it? It's going.
Also, listen to this.
My
you don't
voice.
Hear anything, do you?
You hear this? Do you see that? That's my voice going away.
Well, this here, this is the no ice
oh, yeah,
and no water
totally
in my
out
cup.
Of fluid.
You guys are great for radio, let me tell you.
We're
can you hear this?
Listen to this silence.
Shut up.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. How Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried
rituals,
treasure, planetary mind control,
strange rituals,
military cover-up, Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
We've been asked over the years here to put a webcam in the studio. I'm glad we haven't done it yet.
Because it was bad.
What is with this, like, the theme of tonight's show is air guitar or air flute or whatever. Bonnie's not ready to cough a lung up here. And
air drum.
Doug already coughed a lung up. And this is Ghost Talk. I'm Scott L.
I am Demented Doug.
And I am Bonnie.
And we are the Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh.
I gotta say, it's a pleasure.
Did it just get warmer in here?
Yeah, it did.
Like, all the blood is rushing to my...
Stephen LeChance and Greg Myers are on the show with us right now, guys. Thanks again for hanging out with us.
www.missouriparanormalresearch.com.
Yes, guys, are you still there?
We're here. We never gone anywhere.
You were air guitaring, though, weren't you, to the...
There's no guitar in that thing.
I know.
There's no flute either, but he did air flute the last frame.
I did air drum.
I don't understand. Well, okay, all right, enough.
Before, hey, guys.
What's up?
I was going to say, if you guys want an easier way to get to our website, you could go to www.catchmyghost.com.
Catchmyghost.com. Catchmyghost.com.
Saves a lot of letters, a lot of time.
A little bit easier. It'll, well, of course, be linked up on our site tonight, too.
Yeah, people can either go to ghostlytalk.com or they can just, you know, get a bookmark to your page and just go there once.
For people that aren't familiar with that.
Because I'm telling you, keep Missouri Paranormal Research in your bookmarks, because
things are always happening.
There's always something
going on there. Before we went to break, we were talking about, God, what were we talking about?
Well, I think we were talking about buying Dance Revolution for the studio.
Yeah, during the show.
Yeah. We were going
to. Oh, my God, I would pay to see you guys do that. I would pay.
We were actually talking about the Booth Brothers.
Yes,
in there,
the Booth Brothers.
How wonderful Children those of the guys Grave. Are. Children of the Grave.
Yeah.
Well, you guys filmed, I think, and I don't want to, if I say something that's like too far out, tell me to shut my hole immediately.
Or
no
tell
problem.
Me to hit him. Please tell me to hit him.
You guys actually did some filming at the Crescent Hotel, am I correct?
Yeah, we did some interviews there.
Okay.
We did some interviews there.
So I know that the Booth Brothers were there that weekend, and it was great. It's always fun to watch those guys work and do their thing. We've had the pleasure of seeing it numerous times, and they were just running around the whole weekend, running around. It's just like just doing their thing.
Did they sleep?
No.
I didn't think so.
Dude, when you run with them, you better be able to function off of 1 to 2 hour naps.
It's called Red Bull.
Red
Greg and I drink more Red Bull than I think we've ever drank in our whole entire lives in one weekend.
I'm telling you, every single moment, I mean, I could have been like, oh, it's like 1 a.m., I'm going to go down and, you know, I don't know, see if so-and-so's down there. Go down there, they're there. They're filming.
Yeah,
they're
always there.
You go back up, you catch an hour, 2 hours, you go back down, you're like, they're there, and they're setting something up. I mean, it was, or they're you know, getting people ready, or they're, it didn't matter what time of day, it didn't and it was constant. And
they were always working.
They really are dedicated to the stuff.
Yeah, they're extremely dedicated, and that's the coolest thing, was when you work with someone, you would hope that, you know, that they're as dedicated as those guys are. And I've had, you know, situations working with other people that haven't been as dedicated as they are, and I've got to tell you, they're a breath of fresh air.
You can feel the difference, man.
Because, you know, they don't go, oh, well, you know, it's 6:02, and, you know, that's 2 minutes over, so I got to go.
No, the excitement level stays high the whole time.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we also work with your earlier guests, too, the Kaisers, and they're wonderful, too. Andy and Tanya.
Yeah, Andy and Tanya are great, too.
I know. When I watched the video, when I watched Andy and Tanya,
the other
video,
side.
Yeah, the other side giving up the ghost, I had a big grin on my face. You would have had to chisel off.
Well, you knew what to expect at the end.
The thing was is that it was such a fun video to watch because all these familiar faces were there, and it was just like, oh, I know those guys are awesome. Ooh, those guys are awesome. Ooh,
it felt like
awesome.
A family reunion, didn't it?
It did. It was so much fun to watch. I mean, at least from my viewpoint, because I've had the pleasure of meeting all these wonderful people, such as yourself,
right.
That were on this video, just doing their thing, talking about what they do, explaining what their take is on this stuff. And that's, you know, a lot of what's going to be going on with Children of the Grave, too, with the Booth Brothers. It's fantastic to see those guys work. Again, I you know, and like I said, they'll be coming on the show pretty soon, and I can't wait, because we've talked to those guys, but they're usually so busy that it's, you
right.
know, I don't want to interrupt
right.
what they're doing. I mean, they're like, yeah, right, okay, I got to go, bye. And they take off.
Right.
You know? So it'll be good to, like, actually have them on the show and talk to them. The Haunted Survivors Tour, something I wanted to bring up also, I wanted
right.
to talk to you guys
right.
about. I've seen...
Well, now we know the story behind it.
Well, yeah, we knew that a while ago.
Well, I know, but this is like, but you know, to actually see Steven and talk to Steven, it really hit home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the Haunted Survivors Tour, what a fantastic idea. Tell us about it.
Well, okay, Doug.
I think I just had a Larry King moment.
Yes, you did.
You really did.
I
was just thinking Larry King to myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Haunted Survivors Tour, when it came, you know, nobody's ever put together a group of people that have lived through an extreme haunting before. I think the closest we've ever come to it is when John and Carmen traveled together
mm-hmm.
for a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
And it became so apparent in Arkansas, actually, when, you know, I was fortunate enough to speak with my dear friend Tim, who
oh.
I met there, by the way.
Tim Yancey.
Tim Yancey. Yeah, he's a great guy.
We met him there for the first time also.
Right.
I think that was the first time he came out of
hiding?
Florida.
Yeah.
Hiding
yeah.
for a
hiding.
Long time, yeah. yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, him and I had been emailing back and forth for quite a while. We just hit it off. But it struck me, you know, the power of that presentation that day because of the combination of things that were there. That, you know, this is something we need to really look at. And, you know, if we're going to talk to investigators about extreme hauntings, what better people to do it than the ones that have lived through it?
Oh, yeah.
And so I got with my friend Denise Jones, who has never gone out and spoken. You guys know Denise. And her son was the one they based The Sixth Sense on.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And, you know, so I was talking to her, and I said, you know what, Denise? I said, you really need to get out there. I said, it's really cathartic, for one thing, to go out there and speak in front of people and share your story. I said, because there's a give and take that goes on. And she goes, well, you know, I've never done it, and people have told me to do it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll do it together. And then it just kind of snowballed from there, and it was like, you know, well, let's get Carmen to see, you know. And Carmen's a sweetheart, and she was like, I can't wait. And then, of course, all three cases, you know, John dealt with, so it was just an ideal thing to say, John, you know, let's do this. And John was just really excited about it. And so we're not ready to announce dates yet because we're really putting together something that I think is going to be really special. And we're clearing calendars away and getting everything set up. But I expect us to probably travel with that through most of 2008. And it's going to be really exciting. And it's going to be, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to tell our stories. We're going to show evidence from our stories. We're going to have John there to give his views and stuff. And I think we're really going to connect with an audience. The people that see it, I hope, come out with a lot better understanding of what we live through on a daily basis. Because, you know, once that haunting stops, it doesn't stop there. We live very different lives. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Carmen the other day, and she said, Stephen, she goes, you know, we never should ride on the same plane together. And I laugh like you guys, and I got to thinking about it. I'm like, you know, good idea, Carmen. I don't think I'm ever going to get on a plane with you.
Yeah. She's right.
She's right.
But she's right.
I have one word for you guys. Michigan.
You guys are going to Michigan. Yeah.
We will. We're planning on hitting just about every major city in the United States is what we're talking about.
You're going to come to Detroit?
Ann Arbor.
Yeah, Ann Arbor, maybe Warren, something cool like that. I don't know if you're going to have – Detroit's a little iffy. I'm going to warn you right now. We'll take you there. We'll show it to you.
We'll take you to Detroit.
What's funny is when we put the teaser – you know, we put a teaser out, you know, to see, well, is this something that people would respond to and they would want to come see? And the response has been overwhelming. Everybody's like, you're coming to our city, right? You know, and that's the thing. And then, you know, that when we discussed it, we wanted to assure everybody, we are coming to your city. We want to come to you. We don't want to have to make you come to us. You know, and that was one of the things that we want to do. And we don't want to take it to conventions because it's such a unique grouping that it's a standalone kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never really been done before. And I think it's really going to be exciting once you see the publicity and everything that rolls in around it. And it's really going to bring an awareness to the Extreme Demonic Haunt, I think.
Well, you know, John Zaffis, Johnny Z, you know, we all know him, love him, right? We all know him.
Yeah, I think I know that guy.
Yeah. I mean,
he's my man.
He really drove it home. The first time I got to see him speak, God, last year, it was like we go out to these places and we do our thing. And I know people told me in the past, like, you know, be careful, do this stuff. You don't want to bring anything home with you. And I'm like, okay, you know, I did take that seriously. We do a thing going out. Going, okay, you stay here. You're not riding in the car with us. You're not coming to my house. Leave me alone, right? But John really brings a lot of that stuff home in his discussions because he talks about so much stuff. You know, if you get to see him as many times as we have, he talks about all kinds of different stuff. He just doesn't jump through the hoops every time you go to see him speak. He's always getting new stuff to talk about and new ideas that he's gotten from other people possibly. And he's very, very, very serious about the fact, like, look, if you're going to get into this stuff, here's the things you need to do to keep yourself from being completely terrified out of your mind and possibly being mentally and or physically scarred by these things.
Or killed.
Okay, yeah, even that too. A lot of people, I think now, we've been through this already a little while ago, but a lot of people are getting into this stuff now with the media and things like that. And I don't think a lot of these people are exercising that kind of caution. They're just going out there, like Greg said, with their cameras and running around and not really knowing what's going on.
Well, I asked at the only time I asked, were you at the, you were at the picnic, the Amber's picnic?
No.
GLP's picnic.
And I asked, and there were some very well-respected ghost hunters and leaders of ghost hunter groups there. And I said, who all says a prayer or something before and after ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say? I don't remember.
They all shook their heads.
No, not me. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, and I tried to say, and I just wonder. I wonder if I did that at a more general conference, you know, because that was a picnic. That was a little lighthearted. It was very fun, and obviously we spoke and Grimstone spoke, so we did get some education. But that's where we got educated, is what it was.
Yeah.
but what happens is I wonder if I did it at a more general conference and said, because it's one of the things we do during our presentations is we talk to the audience and ask them questions. I wonder how many heads would nod and how many heads would shake.
I don't think a lot of people are actually doing that. I mean, what do you guys think over there, Steve and Greg?
Well, you know, it's a prayer before I go in. If it's an extreme case, it's many prayers while I'm there, and it's a prayer when I leave.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys got to understand, you know, when you're dealing with this sort of thing, okay, the best way I can describe it to you is we all have a doorway, okay? All of us have that door. That door is generally locked. For some of us, that door comes unlocked and it comes open. You can close that door again, but you can never lock it again. So I have to be particularly cautious with what I'm doing because that door was open for me and I can never completely close it again. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very easy to bring something home with me to my home. And so I'm very, very conscious of that. And, you know, it's because of experience and what I've lived through. And I think that's really important that people understand. I mean, Greg can tell you he's had things follow him home, too.
Oh, yeah.
Really, Greg?
Oh, yeah. That's happened to me with things before I would start doing my personal prayers and little spiritual, you know, rituals to go with it. And I had things follow me here right to my house from places.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that when we were going through the union stuff, Greg was by my side there, and Greg was actually, you know, when this thing decided to go and attack us in our own homes, Greg actually got attacked at his home as well. You know, he doesn't really talk about it that much, but it's true. You know, he did take an attachment home with him.
And it's not just yourself you have to worry about, your family, your children.
Right.
You know, after something followed me home, my wife and kids got to watch a wooden clock fly 10 foot off our wall and smash into the kitchen sink. They got to watch some of the children's toys on one of the tables shoot off like 8 to 10 foot across the room at our dogs.
And that can be dangerous, obviously.
I got pushed down at that time challenging it in my own house and in my bedroom. It knocked me on my butt.
Isn't it short-sighted of ghost hunters and ghost hunting groups not to do a prayer or ritual? I mean, because not everybody is, you know, Catholic or Christian.
No, you have a lot of diversity. But it's hard to do like a team prayer or ritual before and after. However, everyone has their own personal belief, their own personal faith. They have to jump into that both feet and do their little prayer or ritual for their faith.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's interesting what Greg's saying there, because what we found dealing with a lot of these more severe cases is it's the person that's wishy-washy, you know, that doesn't have a firm faith of anything. I mean, if you're going to be an atheist, you know, you be atheist, you have total faith in your atheism. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't play the game that, you know, well, I think I might be this, but I might not, because that's the person that's going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on out there. And, you know, and it's usually the weak person, the one that's weak at thought, that doesn't, you know, have a really solid basis of faith in anything, that actually gets in trouble. In my case, it's because, you know, I had some things that, you know, you guys will hear about it later, but I actually at one point kind of turned my back on God, mm-hmm. which I actually did. And, you know, and boy, I learned my lesson. But, you know, and you know, we were in a group of goth kids speaking one night, and they said, "Are you talking religion?" I'm like, "No, not at all. I'm saying whatever you believe in, believe with your whole heart."
It's more of a spiritualism would be a better term.
Yeah, whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be.
Is it then a little bit odd? Is it a little bit like North Pole, South Pole on a magnet kind of thing? If you're going to run around into a cemetery or... excuse me, or go to a, I don't know, a haunted location, right? And you're going to go in, you're going to have all your equipment, and you're going to do these experiments, and you're going to interview the owners, and et cetera, et cetera. Is it exactly the opposite of what you should be doing if you have any doubts or really are don't know? Because like, if I'm going in and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to find me a ghost, right?
Right.
I believe in ghosts, or I think I do anyway, and I'm going to go and I'm going to believe in ghosts, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to get a picture of ghosts. That's what I want to do. I want to get a picture of ghosts. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it kind of odd that if I'm accepting that, yes, there's ghosts, right? And I know that everybody on the planet has seen John Zaffis on TV, so they know that there's at least some people who think that there's demons, right?
Right.
They're not related, but they're kind of in the same realm, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you're thinking, well, not realm, like, you know, but you get the idea. You can't touch them, feel them, see them, you know? So you're going to go out there, you're going to experiment in a place, you're going to do these things, but you don't protect yourself. Isn't that exactly the opposite of what you should do? I mean, you've lived through the extreme haunting, Steve.
Right.
Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody not protect themselves? Because they don't believe, or they do believe, or they don't know.
They don't know, I think, you know, which is kind of a duh answer to a question for us, right? Because we do, right? But in their case, you know, it's dangerous, though. I mean, they need to protect themselves in some way. What is rule number one when you go into ghost hunting? Everybody knows that, you know, you do some type of protection. It used to be preached all the time. I don't know why we've gotten away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, I think these investigative groups out there need to decide what kind of group they are. There's two types of groups. There's those that help those others, and then there's your total research groups. You know, if you're a total research group, you don't want to be going into a private case where you're going to be dealing with somebody that needs help, because that is the most horrible thing you can do, because those groups are the ones that tend to walk away because they get in over their head, or they just take their evidence and run. It does happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So I think, you know, I think within our community, we got to get a differentiation between the two. You know, so you see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely, yeah. it's and that is really I know we've I always use my example. We've done a few private investigations on our own here, just in our little group, and when you talk about helping people, and this is my classic example, it happened that a couple times actually. The one in particular I use as an example here on the show is a lady. We went there and checked. Well, I checked her house out, mapped the whole house out. They told me where the hot spots were, where they've had activity and whatnot. At the end of all that stuff, I said, "Now look, here's the bottom line. We're going to take pictures. We're going to take audio. We're going to do all this work here. We're going to show you everything. If it's just a picture of a wall, you're going to see it. If it's a picture of some type of wispy humanoid type figure, you're going to see that. Can you handle it? We're not going to sit here and tell you, oh my God, this house is haunted. How do you live here? Right? But we're going to show you things that it might give you some verification that this house may be haunted. Can you handle that?" And one of the cases in particular, she said, "Oh, yeah, no problem at all." I'm like, "Okay, think about it for a couple of days." Sure enough, a couple of days later, I get the phone call saying, "You know what, I thought this over, Scott, and I think I'm better off just kind of having this suspicion. I don't want any type of verification if possible." In my opinion, that's helping people, even though we didn't take pictures, we didn't do any work or anything like that in the house. I think I helped that. I mean, I may have helped that person out by just saying, "Look, can you handle this?" Well, she couldn't.
Right.
Well, I think also,
I don't want to be responsible for someone moving out of their house.
But I think
in
that case, I think that helped the person in that she knows now that should she ever want this verification, she knows how to get it.
That's all part of the assessment process. You have to analyze and assess what the client's needs are and what you're going to be doing in there.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, Steve, that's a really great way to look at it. And there are two types out there. There are research groups. I think that's kind of where we're at now, where we're out there trying new ideas, new things, just learning from people as we go around. And then there's the other groups that are out there that really have this, that they focus on this thing called the client, which I always have found. I mean, you guys mentioned it too, and I'm like, the client. It's such a, the client's there, right? But that's how you kind of have to approach it. It's like, look, we don't want to freak you out. But you're asking for our help. We're going to give it to you.
Right.
I hope that's, that's what people get out of that kind of stuff. It sounds like you guys are doing that, too. I mean, we commend you here. I don't know if I can be that nice.
We kind of toss in both. We have our research aspect also at the same time in helping. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize this. We got the two sides of the coin here. You got me, who is more of, let's go help. And then you got Greg, who, he likes to do that too, but he's like research, so you got both sides of the coin here,
But you need that's how you learn.
Yeah, which it's always been a great relationship between, that's why we get along so well, because, our focus is in two different areas, but between the two of us, we tend to cover the whole gamut of things, so.
And that's the way it should be. You need that mix, just like skeptics and believers and things like that. We've always supported people. We've had people come on here and literally say, "You people are dumb for doing what you're doing." We've had guests that have said that to us, like, "Guys, this is ridiculous. Why are you guys out here going to these places with these minuscule toys you bought at Best?" Oh, I said, I didn't finish it. That you bought at BB, that you bought at Satan's department store. Let's call it that.
Right.
What you guys are doing is they told us this, and we're like, "Okay, that's cool. I respect what you're saying." That's all part of the whole thing. I mean, we love what you guys are doing out there. It was so great to hang out with you guys. And the work you guys are doing, we're always just keeping an eye on what you guys have going on. There's always something happening with NPR. We commend you guys for the work you guys are doing.
Well, thank you guys. We appreciate
you for the work you're doing, too.
We do. We love your show.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice.
That's so scary.
I don't always get to catch you on Sunday, but Greg and I were talking. I said I listened to the archives quite a bit.
Yeah. They're there for you guys. That's what they're there for.
They're there for everybody to download and share.
Share
them.
Go out there and burn them and do what you got to do. Unfortunately, though, I think Doug is he's picking my nose right now, going, "Get out of here.
Ew.
Get out of here."
Ew. But, yeah.
That did come out kind of wrong, didn't it?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. I won't
say
that
again. But I'm glad you said nose. Let's move on.
Okay. We're out of time.
Ah,
you guys, your website, MissouriParanormalResearch.com, or something like
catch my ghost.
Okay. Yeah, catch my ghost.
What are you, a goldfish?
A cob. Yeah, I have a 10-second attention.
Look, there's a castle. Oh, wow, look, there's a castle. Oh, wow, look, there's a castle.
That's exactly how
guys,
I remember
thanks,
something.
Thanks for coming on. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks
miss
for
you
having us, guys. We miss you, too.
We miss hanging out with you.
Yeah, this was actually an interesting
wow, what a
talk shot. Because... Because I started off with, you know, Stephen and Greg, isn't it too good to be true? I mean, we started off with the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I also let folks know that I believe in what they're doing, and I know that they have always been forthcoming.
Well,
that's what you have to do in this field right now.
I don't want to preach, but that's what unity is all about.
Yeah, I think, you know, Steve, I really think so. And let's do this.
Let's believe in what we're doing here, you know?
Let's finish the show on a unifying note. And let's all hope.
Are we going to hold hands?
Yeah. We're going to hold hands. We're going to think kumbaya.
We're holding hands right now.
But no, I think we should, let's think positive. Let's think unifying. And let's go into the rest of 2008. This is the summer coming up. 2007, thank you. This is the summer coming up. This is the time when people are going out. You guys say your prayers before going in to a haunted location, and then say your prayers coming out. Even if it's not a prayer, if it's a ritual, I don't care. You got to do it. But no matter what, thank you for listening. We appreciate every listener, and we appreciate every guest.
Oh, yeah. You guys are all Bobby, Andy, and Tanya tonight. Steven and Greg, of course. You guys are all great. The show went like it felt like it was 5 minutes.
It flew by.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're out of here, guys.
And unfortunately, the Red Wings did not win this game, so we're looking forward to them winning the next one.
The Sopranos are on as we speak. I got to go.
next week, Bonnie and I won't be here, right? But you will be. So
working my butt off while you guys
are
on
Sunday.
Don't forget Tuesday. Lunch with Jen's ass next
don't forget
weekend.
Tuesday. Don't forget Tuesday. We're doing that
9 o'clock. Special experiment show. Watch ghostlytalk.com for info. Have a good one.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. To listen to now, they
balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Don't hate the media, become the media.